Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish the book, I do the review, stick it up here on the podcast feed. And today I'm going to be reviewing a book written by Stephen King, but under a different name. He has a series of four books called the Bachman books, written by Richard Bachman, but actually written by Stephen King. It was I guess the setup was that this was going to be some books that he was going to write and didn't want to have under his own name because they were a different style or something like that. So this is The Running Man by Richard Bachman. Published, it says here on Wikipedia, May 1982, 317 pages long, so not very long at all. And it's a fun science fiction one. It's very little like the movie. So if you've seen the movie, first of all, put that out of your head. This is a similar setup, though. So it says here in the blurb on Audible, it says, a desperate man attempts to win a reality TV game where the only objective is to stay alive in this number one national bestseller from Stephen King, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, it's a death game novel. And scrolling down to the bottom of the Wikipedia page, there's this interesting thing here. It says, see also The Most Dangerous Game, a 1924 short story with a similar premise. The Prize of Peril, a 1958 short story with a similar premise. The Tenth Victim, a 1965 film with a similar premise. Battle Royale, a 1999 dystopian novel with a similar premise. The Condemned, a 2007 movie with a somewhat similar premise. The Hunger Games, a 2008 dystopian novel with a similar premise. So you get the idea that this is a book, or this is a story, which has been told many times, both in movies and the TV shows, and of course in books and novels and short stories. So what makes this one interesting isn't that it sort of inspired a movie. I think it's interesting to me because it's actually a really fun science fiction story, and the future world that's been created by Stephen King for the game to happen in, I think, is one of the more interesting ones. I mean, you got the Hunger Games, but the reason why the Hunger Games takes place, all these games seem to take place in these dystopian worlds is like, oh, we give the people bread and circuses, and now this is the circus. They can watch people die for their entertainment. And while I quite like that premise, I've not really ever seen it done quite so well as this book. It was written in the 1980s, or the 1970s, published in the 1980s, but somehow it just feels much more... just feels much more real than other tellings of this book. For example, with the even with the movie version, it's sort of like, okay, so there's a running man, and they've got to film him. So, but if they're filming him, they know where he is. So how does he get away and do all that kind of stuff? And it's the same with the Hunger Games. It's all like TV cameras everywhere. But even with the movie, I'm never really sure. Like, you've got all this amazing technology, but we never really see the way the cameras work or where the cameras are hidden. And I think it could be, you know, the only way to do this is sort of like, a Truman Show kind of idea where there's cameras and we kind of see it edited from their point of view and see the backgrounds. And while I like that idea, this, you know, of always seeing it through the television cameras or the movie cameras' eyes, what I like about this novel is that it's just the way that it's done. It seems to be like the person is out running around and they have to record with a little video camera a few clips of theirs, like two clips per day, just talking to the camera, little audio diaries, and then send those clips in, which will then be broadcast that evening or the next day or whenever those clips come in. And if they don't send in those clips, they lose the game. So I really like the idea that the participants in this game, this death game, are also the ones filming themselves and then sending the footage in. And there's obviously, you think, well, if they send the footage in, where do they know, like, that's really obvious where they are then, and they can just look at the postmark and which postbox they were put into and that, you know, where it's sent. And that's kind of talked about in this book, that they say, well, actually, the people hunting you down, they don't get to see where the postmark is. We actually keep the production side, the television production side, and the hunters separate. And also there's different ways of doing it. You can send it somewhere and then it's sent from there. That's what they're kind of doing this one. So just the structurally, I quite like the idea of this a bit better than others, where like the production seems a little bit more, I don't know, a bit more genuine, a bit more believable than some of the other death game styles. For example, you know, I watched the movie Battle Royale and it's all these kids killing each other, but there never seems to be any like, well, how is this entertaining? You know, if this is the bread and circuses, if this is the circus part of the bread and circuses, where, like, how are people even watching this? And there's other books that I've read. I think there's a Jack Vance novel where there's a whole section where someone goes into a big arena and it's a big death game arena in the Planet of the Wank or whatever that book is called. I can't remember. One of those books, there's a Jack Vance books, there's a similar premise. And there you just, well, how are people watching? It's like, well, there's a big arena and people watching from the outside, but the people down in the maze can't see where other people are coming from. And also, what I really enjoyed about this book is, like, just the setup of the world. Like I say, it's really good, fun dystopia. Like, that's the, you know, the thing with dystopians is, like, how bad can you actually make it that people can still, like, be entertained by people dying? And in this case, the pollution is really, really bad, and the work conditions are really bad, and the poverty is really bad. And the government is, like, tied in somehow. The government is tied into the network. Like, the network is just an arm of the government, and the people in the network are very important in the government and have a lot of power. Of course, I mean, if you're just running around and absolving people for killing other people, there must be a lot to that. But yeah, it's a really strong setup to the game and a really strong world. The idea being that the longer you survive, you get $100 per hour that you survive in the world. But the $100 seems to be worth a lot more than $100 are in today's world, and even in 1980s world, because these aren't normal United States dollars. These are like game show dollars, and they're kind of more valuable than normal dollars, normal United States dollars. And he gets a bit of money to help him on his way at the start. And of course, if he lasts 1 month, you gotta last an entire month. And if you do last an entire month, you win $1 billion. Although it's made quite clear that nobody has ever lasted 30 days and got the $1 billion, and nobody is going to last 30 days. So which brings me on to the main character of this book, who is called, let me just quickly look up on Wikipedia, Ben Richards. And Ben Richards, put Arnold Schwarzenegger from the Running Man movie out of your head, because he is the opposite of Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's a scrawny, like, mostly ill person who gets, like, he's always ill at the time. There's always, like, I mean, it's never really made clear that he has, you know, like, he's been poisoned by all the pollution, but there's, you know, it's kind of mentioned there as well. So he's an ill, thin, weak person, but does have a really nasty streak, which is very different from how I expected it, knowing that this was written by Stephen King. But then I understand, oh, this is not actually written by Stephen King. This is written by Richard Bachman. And it says here on writing, it says, according to King's 2002 memoir On Writing, which I have actually read, I didn't review it for the podcast because it's not a science fiction book, but I did listen to the audiobook of that. He says he wrote The Running Man within a single week, compared to the novel normally takes approximately 3 months. So this was written in a single week, and he says it was written as a book written by a young man who is angry, energetic, and infatuated with the art and craft of writing. And that is kind of describing what, like, all of that being distilled into a character makes Ben Richards our main character. And Ben Richards, one name in common with Richard Bachman, you sort of, like, just an opposite, you know, Ben Richards, Richard Bachman, those two names kind of swap around. So you understand that the character of this book is kind of the thing that Stephen King was channeling in the pseudonym Richard Bachman, like an angry young man, but also one that is very well read. And this is an interesting thing that often when you see these game shows where, the game shows where people die in exchange, or risk their lives in exchange for money, it's a difficult way of saying, because that doesn't really exist, but you often see these game shows where it's, like, really idiot people on there, and you're just like, no, just do this and do this. Like, if I was doing this game show, there's an obvious thing that you could do, and that would win it each time. And I've listened to quizzes or watched quizzes and different game shows where I think there's a clear winning strategy here. This is what you do. So I like the idea that somebody... mention this, because there was one example on Radio 1, which was the popular music station on the BBC. They had this thing where they had this... DJs would use... Of course, they use these mixing turntables. And you can adjust the speed that they go round on the turntable. And the game was, we're going to play a record, and it's not at the right speed, and the scale is +8 to -8 and zero is the correct thing. So listen to this record and see if you can think, is it too fast or too slow compared to how I know this? And then you can say, and you have got three attempts to get it to zero. So you say plus three if you think it's three too low, and a plus three, and you get two. And then they say, is that at zero? No, it's not. You get another go. Okay, minus two, and it's like, no, that's not quite. Okay, it's a little bit faster. Then plus one, and you just kind of narrow it down, and you get three attempts. And I was just thinking, okay, if as high as you can go is plus eight, and as low as you can go is minus eight, and you get three attempts, I would just say, okay, no matter what speed it is, minus eight, is that correct? No. And then I'd say, minus eight, is that correct? No. And then I'd say, plus eight. Because if you can't go down off the bottom of the scale or off the top of the scale, if you say minus eight, you have to be at minus eight because there's no lower that you can go. And then say plus eight, and you get to zero. And I was like, this is really obvious to me. Like, I've heard this game show, like this radio little thing come on a few times, this little challenge to listeners to match, you know, to get to the right speed of the record. It's like minus eight, plus eight. That's it. That's obvious. And so it's one of those things. Of course, I never bothered calling in and to test this theory. But it's one of those things that you see these game shows and it's like, yeah, there's an obvious way of winning this. And what I liked about The Running Man is that it is someone who is so down on his luck. He's obviously intelligent. He's got his head screwed on the right way, but he's so angry with the world, but he needs money to save his dying daughter and to so his wife doesn't have to be a prostitute anymore. He's like, right, I need this money so much, and I've given up all hope, but I'm clever enough that if I enter into the game show system, I'm going to do really well at, he goes in, he doesn't know what game show he's going to be in, but he's given lots of different intelligence tests and physical tests and all these different kind of things, and it's like, yeah, you can kind of tell that he's maybe a little bit too intelligent for some of the stupid game shows, and he's a bit too healthy for some of the, okay, people with bad hearts exercise until they have a heart attack episodes, different game shows. But to get on The Running Man, it's sort of like, that doesn't seem to be what he was aiming for, but in the end, that is the best thing. And it's like, well, I might die at the end, but I'm clever enough that I'm going to do a good showing with this. So that's the setup. He meets the Dan Killian, who is the network executive, and yes, you're not gonna last 30 days, but go off, and he gets a bit of a head start, and then it all really kicks off. And one thing that confused me about this book is that it starts off with the chapters, and it says 101 and counting. Minus 100. I just got confused now, but again, by looking on Wikipedia, it says the first is titled minus 100 and counting, and then minus 99 and counting. So it's obviously counting down to something, and it becomes quite clear that that's the end of the game. However, my problem was that I didn't really pay much attention to the numbers until the game started. Then it was sort of like minus 80 and counting, and I was like, oh, are these hours that they're counting? Well, I guess they're hours that they're counting down. But then another chapter would start, and because there's literally 101 chapters in the book, the chapters are very short, it's very fast paced, it keeps you moving through the book, and so sometimes I was thinking, oh, that wasn't an hour that went past since the last chapter, so I had to keep putting out the ideas that these were counting down hours, and instead just counting down chapters towards the end of the book. And as some chapters were longer and some chapters were shorter, you're never quite sure how much time you were spending within each chapter. Because, of course, 101 chapters is like, four and a bit days or something. Not going to work it out in my head. What was I going to say again? Yeah, so that was a good thing. So lots of short chapters. It really moves through the book. However, there are some lulls in places where you think, well, this should be a running man. It should be running all the time. To be honest, The Running Man is just the name of the game, because most people are, you know, they'd say, oh, this person's going to run, and they're going to run there and run. But in this one, because Ben Richards is more intelligent, he doesn't do a lot of running. I think there's only one or two moments where he actually is like, someone's chasing him and he's running. It's a lot more, you know, disguises and setting traps and cars and driving and flying and things like that as it goes through. So, that's pretty good. Now, a bit about spoilers. I'm not going to spoil this novel. I think I'd read, maybe I hadn't read this novel, but I'd read about this novel, or maybe when I'd watched the movie, I kind of read about it, and people said, oh yeah, it's different in the book, or something like that. So, weirdly enough, I did actually have what happens at the end of this book in my mind. To be honest, I think maybe I've actually listened to has there been a radio adaptation about this? I'm not even sure. No, it doesn't actually say. The film was later made into a video game and released on home computers. It doesn't say anything about a radio adaptation, but maybe I've listened to a reading of it or sometime. So I had the end of this in my mind. And then I saw that the book had an introduction by Stephen King himself. And I always hate listening or reading the introductions in books, and it's sometimes a bit annoying in audiobooks when you can't skip over the introduction, or like the introduction isn't a chapter, a discrete chapter in itself. Anyway, so I skipped over that and just went through the book. And to be honest, I have now not listened to the audiobook because I deleted the first part of the audiobook from my iPhone, and so can't now listen to that introduction. Maybe I'll listen to it again if I download it. But I listened to the SFF audio podcast about this, which was an episode a few weeks ago. And that's the reason why I read this book, is because I saw them chatting about it on Twitter. Jesse and Marissa and who else was chatting about it? Let me have a look on Overcast and episodes. What am I looking for? SFF audio. Who else was on the episode there? Oh, it says no notes. Anyway, they were talking about The Running Man by Stephen King, and The Prize of Peril by Robert Sheckley, but they mostly talked about The Running Man, because that was the book that everyone had seen, and they talked about some other movies. But right at the very start of that podcast, they say, oh, it was a pity that to read the introduction, because in the introduction, it spoils the end of the book by giving away that it ends by dot, 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 dot. And I just said dot, 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 dot. But then in that podcast itself, they just say what happens at the end of the book. And then I'm always a bit annoyed with this, but in that podcast, because like I just read The Running Man, so then I was listening along with it, but they could at least say at the start that like we're going to talk about this, we're going to talk about that. But of course Jesse doesn't believe in spoilers and doesn't think that's the real thing, whereas I do. I would say, again, don't even listen to that podcast, even though I really enjoyed it, because they're not just talking about this, they're talking about lots of other movies and books as well. So I actually want to watch one of the movies that they mentioned, Das Millionspiel, which is a German movie version of a similar idea. I'll get around to that. And it's a funny thing in German that million or Milliarden is actually what we would say billion. And when Germans say billion, they actually mean trillion. And there's a book called $1 trillion or something like that. And it's talking about how someone's great, 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 great something invested money in like 1640. And it's now so big that then he inherits it and it's like, oh, I now have $1 trillion. And it's sort of like, well, if one person owns $1 trillion, what are they going to do in the world? And Juliana read all the way through of that. And then at the end, and then it says, oh yeah, and just so you know, that in German, when we say $1 billion, we're actually meaning $1 trillion. And she's like, oh, that makes a lot more sense. Or maybe that was at the start, but it was like, oh, $1 billion, that's not very much for one person to have, but $1 trillion, yes it is. So what else do I got to say about this book? Don't listen to the SFF audio podcast about this until you've read the book. I'm not going to give away the ending, but the ending is very interesting, very satisfying. There is one plot point where I'm like, it's not very convincing in the middle, but otherwise very enjoyable. And I really like how, bad things happen and bad things happen, and it keeps building and building and building. So what else do I have to say about this? Yeah, other things about the game that I like, that you get an additional $100 for each law enforcement officer or hunter, and there's people who are actually hunters. Now, in the movie version, the hunters are kind of main cast members, and they're the ones hunting down Arnold Schwarzenegger, because we actually follow a lot more wider world. What I like about this book is that we see it much more from one person's point of view. I think there's one point later on where we're like, oh, and the TV watchers were seeing this, or this person was over here, and this happened, but I kind of didn't like it when it switched away. I really liked it when it was very much within Ben Richards' heads and what he was seeing and what he was going through. Because the nastiness and the, like, the... it's weird to say the nastiness of this, but the Ben Richards is not a very pleasant person. There's, like, I made some notes about it. He was like, oh, this person was, like, a faggoty little man or faggoty-looking fellow. And I'm like, And then at some point he's like, oh, man, there's this woman I really want to, you know, hit her and beat her and maybe rape her. And I'm like, wow, this is someone who has been pushed to the edge a lot. But then, like, as he goes through, it's like, will he redeem himself? Will he get out of this situation? What is going to happen as he goes through this situation? And there is some redemption, but I do like an idea of someone who is very intelligent, well-read, but just pushed by life past the edge and is willing to do anything, include kill as many people as possible, or kill as many law enforcement officers as possible, and threaten to kill many, many other people to get through this game. And in the end, it's not even about getting the $1 billion. And also what I like about this is maybe the reason why he doesn't run so much is that he gets injured. And it's really nice to see someone in a book who's sort of like, oh, and then he gets shot there. And normally in books and movies, you get shot and it's oh, it's just a flesh wound. That won't put him back a bit. But each time it's sort of like Ben Richards gets beaten down. And because the book doesn't, like, the storyline of the book doesn't last long term, it's like every injury he gets, he doesn't really have enough time to recover from the injury until he gets injured by something else, and by the end the injuries are piling up, and you're like, wow, this is going to be very tricky to get out of this one. So that's what I like. What else? I normally talk about the themes of the book, but I pretty much covered them. I guess one thing that I another cool thing is that what if this was to happen in the real world. And what I've come to kind of notice is that people dying isn't really interesting to most people. Well, it is, but it's sort of like, in this case, in this book, they say, oh, don't, you know, always stay with your people. Like, trust your own people. Don't trust anyone who isn't your own people. And that really reflects now that, like, humans don't see death as entertainment, like, as positive entertainment, unless, of course, it's other. Whereas here, it's sort of like, again, I'm not even sure what I'm trying to say, is that, like, death is entertainment if it's your own people, but it's sort of like negative entertainment, like the sensationalism around terrorism, like, oh, two people were killed, you know, were killed by a terrorist who is from someone else. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, and now the United States Army accidentally killed 100 civilians. And it's sort of like only one of these is entertainment. And again, it comes down to, like, it can things can only be entertainment if it's entertainment for your people. And what I don't understand about this book is, like, this is this a worldwide thing? A countrywide thing? It's not really made clear. There's one point, it's like, oh, maybe if I can get to Canada, I can get out of the game. But of course, if you get to Canada, you might survive the hunters, but you won't win your $1 billion. What I'm trying to say is that, like, even in the modern media, like, death, people dying is entertainment, but it has to be the right person. And I don't think this kind of, I don't know, I'm not even sure what I'm trying to say, but there's this kind of idea that I don't think this kind of thing would ever, no matter how depraved society gets, death isn't that interesting to people, I don't think. Like, it is for the person who's being hunted, but I don't kind of see this as a predictive thing. I think already we're at the point where there's enough other depravity that we can see as entertainment that we don't need death, in a way. People are already fine with... to be honest, put it this way, even in this book, like, the motivation to be behind this is sort of like, well, if I don't get this money, I might die anyway, or I'm willing to risk my life to get this money. I think that, like, deprivation, like, poverty is a much bigger driver of entertainment than death. Like, physical harm isn't that interesting, whereas someone winning a lot of money is, and someone losing a lot of money would be more interesting. So I think actually these death games could much more, it would be much more likely if, you know, people lose money and power and status rather than losing their health and their life. I don't see health and life as intrinsically entertaining for anyone these days. Maybe that's one of those points that I can bring out of this book. Otherwise, it's quite funny to see, like, reality TV shows and talking about the media from this point of view. It seems almost innocent that, oh, we'll just kill some people and that'll keep everyone entertained. It's in the modern world that seems very innocent by, like, just how sprawling entertainment is and the distractions of the modern world are, that, you know, just killing one person or killing a few people's lives being at risk is going to be the most interesting thing that happens. I just don't see it. It feels very innocent in that way. Anyway, I think that's all I've got to say about this book. I really enjoyed this book. I think it's a in a way, I'm not sure why this isn't held up as a more of a classic science fiction book from the 1980s, because it really holds up. Turns out Stephen King can write really interesting situations and fun characters and really nasty characters and bad situations and disturbing situations. He can write that really well. Like I say, there are a few lulls in this, and there are a few like plot issues where I'll be like, some of the pacing isn't so good and some of the plotting isn't that strong, especially later on in the book. It feels like, oh, it's convenient for this to happen, it's convenient for that to happen. But we kind of get around it. I can forgive that by how much I otherwise enjoy the book, even though, like I say, I already knew what was happening at the end of the book, because, I'm not sure if I've read it before, but I definitely have read about the story or have listened to an audio version of it or audio. Oh yeah, talking about audio, that's what I want to do now. So, what I really enjoyed about this book is the audiobook narration. Let me bring up now the audiobook narrator, narrated by Kevin Kennelly. I don't know Kevin Kennelly, maybe I've listened to a book by him before, but I really, really enjoyed his voice acting through all of this, because he did a really great job of kind of getting into the exasperation and the mindset of the main character. Plus, when any other characters come along, he gave voices to them, which I thought were very convincing and very enjoyable to listen to. So I do recommend this. And so if you want this book, hey, here's a totally unqualified book recommendation. If you want this book for free, go along to audibletrial.com/SFBIP. Use the code SFBIP. No, I don't even think you need a code. Just go along there and you can get this audiobook for free from Audible, which is what I do. You sign up for an account. You've got 30 days to say, yes, I want to continue. But the first book that you get is for free, and it's yours forever. You never need to worry about this. Any book that you have are just yours. You can download them anytime that you want. You're not paying for a book and then only having one book out the library at all. You can have as many books as you want. I have the Platinum account, which I get 2 audiobooks per month. I've got like 6 credits at the moment or something, so I'm a bit behind, but I'll get through those books in the future. So you can keep the credits as long as you want. Keep the books as long as you want, and check it out. You can also have the gold plan, which is 1 audiobook per month. That's probably good enough for most people who don't read as much as me. So go to audibletrial.com/SFBIP to get your free audiobook, and that also helps support the podcast. And check out Kevin Kennelly narrating The Running Man by Stephen King. It's actually listed on Audible as Stephen King. I think on Goodreads it's mentioned, it's listed as Richard Bachman as Stephen King. Is it Stephen King? I can't remember. I think I'm going to list this episode as Stephen King as Richard Bachman. So then it shows up along with the other Stephen King books that I've read and reviewed. Although I just remembered now, there's probably like 3 books which I've read by Stephen King since I started this podcast, which I've not reviewed. There was Joyland, which was, there's a little bit of magic-y stuff in that, maybe, or something, but it didn't really feel like science fiction-y or fantasy enough to review here. The On Writing, which is a book about Stephen King, a bit autobiographical, but also talking about his writing process, which I really enjoyed. Again, not really material for this podcast. And also a book called The Gunslinger, which is the first... Oh, no, what was it called? Yeah, Gunslinger. What's the Dark Tower series? I read the first book of that, and it landed... It hit so little for me. It was such a miss in terms of what I want from a book or any kind of enjoyment that I finished it and I was like, well, I have nothing to say about that book at all. And I never got around to doing a podcast about it, because I was just like, it was a book, I didn't really like it, I can't remember anything that happened in it. Even by the end of the book, I was like, well, some people were... This guy was walking around and he had some conversations with people and there was a... I literally don't remember anything about the book, except there was a character called the Gunslinger, and he sat beside a fire and had a conversation. So not all Stephen King books are hits with me, but generally I'm impressed by his writing. And maybe I'll check out the other Bachman books before going on to other Stephen King books in the future. The Long Walk, which again, maybe that was the one that I read. So I'll see if I've read that one, I'm not sure. Another kind of game show, death game kind of book, which I'll get to in the future. So check out the other episodes that I've talked about Stephen King. I think I did The Stand and maybe some others. We'll see. So, I think that's it. The next book that I'm going to review is probably going to be... I've not started it yet, but Juliana has just finished it. It's called Blindsight by Peter Watts. She read the German version this time. We'll probably talk about that in an upcoming episode, maybe at the beginning of next week, because I'm away on a work trip. And then when I get home, Juliana is leaving the next day on a work trip of her own for a week. And then I'm leaving for a work trip. So we'll hopefully fit in a podcast on Sunday evening or afternoon when I get home. And yeah, I've got some other books to read. The Stars Are Legion by Cameron Hurley. I don't know anything about that, but that's my next audiobook that I'm going to get to. That was recommended to me on the FFBRP listener group on goodreads.com in a thread called Books I Would Like to See Reviewed. And when I'm looking for a book that I'm going to review, or just thinking, oh, what shall I read next? That is my go-to place to get a new book recommendation. And someone said, hey, yeah, it reminds me of the Updraft novel, which you didn't like because it was a fun world and a fun situation, but it was full of, you know, bullshit young adult tropes. And this book isn't. So I was like, great. This book reminds me of that, but it doesn't have all the young adult bullshit tropes. So that's one of my next books that I'll get to in the future. Right, that's it from me. Thanks a lot for listening. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Luke Burridge. On Instagram, at Luke Burridge there. On YouTube, where I do my vlogging. And I'm Luke Burridge on there too. I'm pretty much Luke Burridge everywhere. Luke@juggler.net is my email address. I do reply to every single email that I get. So that's it from me. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.